Now, I do. I think the fact that the asylum seekers' boats have stopped is obviously a great thing. It saves lives, and that's absolutely paramount. But I am concerned at the way we are treating asylum seekers who are already here. For those in Manus Island and in Nauru, it's often indefinite detention. And that, to me, is against everything we stand for as a nation. Now, overnight, aspects of Australia's asylum seeker policies have been found to breach the United Nations Convention Against Torture, according to an independent expert. Now, the report addresses concerns particularly around Manus Island, as well as recent amendments to maritime laws, and the UN Human Rights Council has received the report. Now, already, Immigration Minister Peter Dutton, I spoke to him earlier this morning, and he dismissed the report outright.
Well, I think it's complete rubbish, Nick. I've seen the media report, so we'll have a look at the report that's been issued. But to suggest that Australia somehow is involved in torturing asylum seekers is an absolute nonsense.
Well, I don't think it suggests that. I think it says you have breached, the government has breached the United Nations Convention Against Torture. And the way people are treated.
Again, I reject it.
Okay. It seems to me the government is saying the ends justify the means. 96 900 693 1313 32. I know my opinion's not a popular one. Give us a call. Let us know what you think. Is the government acting correctly? Does the end justify the means? 96 900 693 1313 32. Joining us now is Daniel Webb, a director of legal advocacy at the Human Rights Law Centre. Daniel, your reaction to this report?
I think it's really concerning that the Special Rapporteur on Torture, so the independent United Nations expert appointed by the UN to investigate alleged breaches of the Torture Convention around the world, has found very clearly and very strongly that Australia, in a very systematic way, is violating this important treaty.
Okay, so what are the specifics? What is Australia doing? Give us one or two examples. What is Australia actually doing that breaks these conventions?
Well, the mandatory and indefinite detention on Manus Island in pretty appalling conditions of asylum seekers breaches the prohibition on cruel, inhuman and degrading treatment, and also these changes to maritime powers laws that you referred to in your introduction. They license the government to return people wherever they want in the world, irrespective of whether they would face the risk of torture or worse in those places. Now, under this torture convention, obviously, we can't torture people ourselves, but we also can't return them somewhere else where they'll be at risk of being tortured by others. And that's precisely the power this government has tried to give itself in these amendments, and it's clearly unlawful.
Okay, so it goes to the UN Human Rights Council. What happens after that?
Well, look, unfortunately, the United Nations international law system, unlike domestic law, isn't enforceable in a court as such. But it is significant that we are being called out on the world stage as breaching this convention, and it should be a bit of a wake-up call. I mean, you mentioned this issue of do the ends justify the means, and I think, really, breaching the torture convention is a line we should never cross, and it should prompt a rethink about whether we can save lives at sea without violating the basic human rights of those who survive.
Because, I mean, the situation is, isn't it, that the government was elected on this particular policy. It has delivered, for better or for worse in terms of the means, it has delivered on the policy. It's banking on the fact that the majority of people in Australia really don't care, the boats have stopped, and that's a good thing.
That is what it's banking on. And, I mean, what I would say is we voluntarily signed the Convention Against Torture 30 years ago. And when we signed it, we did so because as a nation, we agreed with the minimum standards of treatment that convention protected. Now, here we are 30 years later, flagrantly violating that convention. And yes, the government said it's going to stop the boats, but it never said it was going to show contempt for important treaties we voluntarily signed as a nation. And I think, like I said, there must be a better way to try and save lives at sea than breaching the torture convention in respect of those who survive.
Now, to paraphrase the minister, and I think I'm being fair here, he basically said if we weren't doing this, the floodgates would open again.
Well, I mean, I think that's wrong. And the bottom line is people... the underlying issue is that there are people in our region who need protection and who can't access it safely, so they resort to unsafe means. And what Australia really needs to be doing, instead of pursuing costly and cruel and unlawful policies, is to work with the United Nations and our region, our regional partners, to develop safe and viable pathways to protection for people who need to seek it.
And but Daniel, the bottom line is, though, that this report goes to the UN. Australia might get flayed a little bit in the UN, but apart from that, they can't act on it, can they?
No, and that is a limitation of the international legal system. But it should be a wake-up call, and it should prompt a rethink. And I heard the minister's comments calling this rubbish or something like that in your introduction, and yep. I just think it's really unsustainable to show contempt for the United Nations in that way. I mean, we need this system of international law and order. We use it often to protect our own national interest. So it's incredibly short-sighted to just thumb our nose at it when we don't like the important message it's delivering us. We need to listen, learn, and look for better ways to save lives at sea than destroying the lives of survivors.
Okay, Daniel Webb, Director of Legal Advocacy at the Human Rights Law Centre, I appreciate your time.